Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 312. Welcome back to the program. In the news this week, I would like to mention that I did go ahead and get a new book by David Chaim Smith, who is described on Google as a mystical practitioner, esoteric cartographer, maker of esoteric diagrams, and writer of and on alchemical and Kabbalistic mysticism. His new book is pretty interesting, Deep Principles of Kabbalistic Alchemy. A fantastic book. I've not dove into it quite yet. I say fantastic based on the artwork alone. It's worth the money. So if you can get a minute to check that out, I'm sure David will be pleased. So check out his stuff. I've been able to grab a few cool new books, notably Bromwell's book, and also the Voynich manuscript, which is not Masonic. It's just a fun, cool text, which has not been deciphered, contrary to what has been said. A pretty neat book. I do wish the contrast value was a little bit better. So if you followed my link to pick up that book for like $36 on Barnes & Noble, the contrast values of the book are less than what I would expect from a quality reprint. Fantastic colors, everything looks great, but I do want to say that the contrast value could be up a little bit, making the texts easier to see off of the page. So be aware of that. I want to say thanks to our three guys, our three Mikes, who won the Masonic Memoranda of Frederick L. Billen by Stephen L. Harrison, our illustrious 33rd degree brother, who is just amazing when he comes on our show and in everything he does. So thanks to Michael Overturf, Michael Laidlaw, and Michael Hambricht. But Mike Hambrick actually already had the book, so he allowed me to send it to somebody who I knew would appreciate it. So I did end up sending it to Worshipful Brother Scott S. Duball, who's the education chair for the state of Illinois, who I know will love every bit of it. So congrats to all of those guys for your participation in our interview with illustrious Brother Harrison. If you're interested in that book yourself, please head on over to wcypodcast.com and hover over the link for the bookstore. Click that, it'll take you over, and in there you'll see just a bunch of hot links to all of the books by authors that we've had on this program. I don't have an Amazon affiliate or anything, so it's just a neat place you can go to pick up those items. I also got to give a great shout out here to Masonic Revival. You know, I had actually reposted one of his newest products, so these Masonic decanters. They looked so amazing. Went ahead and got one. It is amazing. Very, very cool. I can't wait to fill it up with maybe one of my favorite bourbons or something, but just a real classy piece. So if you were on the fence about it, my review, I normally do like an unboxing or something. For this, I didn't. And that is because I just didn't have the time last week, and I barely have time this week. But my review is, it's stellar. Get it if you were thinking about getting it. It's really cool. You're not going to be disappointed. The MSA Disaster Relief for Florida is issued, and Texas is ongoing. So please, if you want more information on that, go to freemasonsfordummies.blogspot.com and see what illustrious brother Christopher Hodep has to say about it. They are actively collecting money to provide that relief that they so need. So please do check that out. I'd like to get right into this week's first piece. I've got a few pieces from the Midnight Freemasons. News from that, I should say that the Midnight Freemasons is now an Alexa skill. That means if you have an Amazon Echo Dot, an Amazon Echo, or an Amazon Tap, you can enable the skill to read the Midnight Freemasons. It was our first foray into doing something like this, so be aware that I did have to choose some options, and as a result, when you ask it to play these in your flash briefing, you're going to get the last three. So if you don't want to hear the other ones you already heard, just say Echo next or Alexa next. With all that, I think it's really cool, and we'll get right into this week's first piece, which I alluded to that I would probably read on the show at some point, and so I'll go ahead and do that for you now. This first piece is called Masonic Free Press by myself, Brother Robert H. Johnson. Countless times folks come to me and ask whether or not my podcast, Whence Came You, or this blog, or the Midnight Freemasons, is sanctioned by our Grand Lodge, or whether or not we have permission to run them. I often initially scoff at the idea that somehow I should need some kind of blessing to talk about this thing which I believe belongs to mankind. But in one instance in time, I did in fact give the thought a moment of reflection. In a moment, perhaps one of panic, I decided to ask my Grand Master of Illinois. At the time, I was a fresh new Master Mason, and I thought maybe I should ask. I called the Grand Lodge of Illinois. I left a message, wrote emails, and waited. At that time, our Grand Master was Most Worshipful Brother Terry L. Seward. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, "I listened to the show. I find it to be very fine. While I cannot give you a blanket approval, because you may change the show in the future, I can say that what you've done is acceptable, and we have no issue with it. Carry on." Well, after that, I never looked back. But it begs the question, why do guys ask this question? Freedom of the press is guaranteed by the First Amendment. It is believed by most to be of the utmost importance, protecting citizens from the government controlling the flow of information or news. When we started way back in the colonial days, inklings of the American experiment tickled the brains of those reading and bent the ear of those gossiping in pubs and street corners, eyes reeling for British officers. The British actually tried to prevent and prohibit the flow of information, which was unapproved. We all know what quote-unquote approved information consists of. Adopted on December 15th, 1791, the amendment prevents the interference, constraints, and prosecution from the government when information doesn't fit an approved agenda. In 1931, this was reinforced in Near versus Minnesota. A second important issue here is not just the freedom of the press, but also the independence thereof. Regardless of where you get your news, it's likely a product of the Associated Press, which is largely an independent news source. It is true that there can be bias, liberal, conservative, or otherwise. The point being, the news you read likely isn't brought to you by the White House, unless, you know, you're on Twitter. Why is freedom of the press important to journalists? Simply put, it allows them to publish information and oftentimes, more importantly, opinions and viewpoints relating to issues which might be of a sensitive nature without fear of retribution. Journalists have an exclusive duty to print the facts, an allegiance to the citizens. Their one duty is to give us the truth. What is true? Why is it important? What is true is simply an examination of the facts. Those things that can be said, reported, and written, which are provable through personal experience and observation. Oftentimes, in today's media, truth is skewed, taken out of context, and rewritten to serve an agenda, be it political or otherwise. This is a major problem today, especially in social media. Countless memes portraying images of people laying on cherry-picked quotes and is then presented as quote-unquote facts. Truth is important because it allows the reader, listener, or observer to utilize the greatest of assets, their own mind, to determine for oneself what speaks to them. Today's Masonic institution maintains control over its press, both in freedom and in independence. I've read countless Grand Lodge magazines, and none of them report anything but their great successes. Everything has to go through a committee. Everything must be approved. This is important on one hand due to image maintenance, but on the other hand, it's a bit hypocritical. Why is all this important to Freemasonry? As stated above, of quote-unquote official Masonic publications aren't going to be unskewed. They will be truthful in the telling of stories or anecdotes which portray the great things we do and report the benign happenings. As an organization as large as ours, it's important to have independence in reporting on the inner workings of the craft. Only now, in the last few years, has the organization had any kind of quote-unquote free press. In the past, issues were only talked about at the annual communication of grand jurisdictions, leaving men to decide on the spot the resolutions to issues whilst not hearing the full story or both sides. I could cite numerous instances where grand jurisdictions have laid a heavy hand on anyone leaking out information to the public, especially when it involves issues of civil rights, racism, and ethical and moral standards. However, the good that came from these quote-unquote leaks, and the good that comes from the bloggers, YouTubers, and writers who reported the issues, has become immeasurable. It all ensures accountability. Accountability as it relates to our espoused virtues, notably justice, the others, temperance, fortitude, and prudence, all playing a close second. Accountability is one of the most important aspects within any institution. In Freemasonry, the belief in a supreme being is a method of accountability. As we say, it was necessary for you to profess a belief in a higher power, otherwise no oath or obligation would have been considered binding upon you. Of course, this is paraphrased, and your jurisdiction may vary slightly. The idea here is that based on the idea that paradise or an afterlife will be withheld as punishment for breaking your oaths holds enough weight with the brethren to allow you to be trusted. In our ancient fraternity, a man's word is not enough. Something has to hold you accountable. Accountability in a modern and everyday sense is observable every time you clock in at work, every time you send an email with a read receipt, log a task, etc. In the way I speak about it here in this piece, it should draw a parallel to the many ideas proposed within our own American Constitution and Bill of Rights. The idea that the governmental body is beholden and held accountable by the people. The same should apply to Freemasonry. Without this accountability, which is only now beginning to develop in our fraternity, you get what we've had since the beginning, and that which has in recent years shocked brothers and the public across the world, when by chance stories that escape the confines of grand sessions make it onto popular news sites like the NPR. I believe it's important to ask here and now, what do we hold our grand jurisdictions accountable for? Answering this question requires us to look at what is acceptable within our current society, to look at the normalities of the present age. Where once our fraternity excelled in this, it has now been shown that society has largely passed us by, utilizing the Masonic tenets to continually progress the world, and again, where are we? We usually ascribe this lack of progress to something called tradition. The ideas promulgated by our institution, which were once revolutionary, which the rest of the world saw and readily adopted, have improved the world over. We held an influence when the social structure of the day was ready, and when the people held their local, state, and federal governments accountable, the right things were done. Freemasonry influenced that behavior and practice. Now the profane world has lapped us. They had the struggle. They worked through it by using the free press, which forced accountability. This is evidenced through the well-known struggles of civil rights and equality. We still, however, have a long way to go. For even though we glorify a document in which it states, all men are created equal, we have continued to fail at it in practice. Accountability in the political stratosphere is then accomplished by political action, protests, and elections of local and state leadership who were and are sympathetic to the cause. Freemasonry is far removed from this. In an institution which has virtually limitless power as it relates to its membership, laws, rules, regulations, and practices, accountability is all but present in the areas men should be well concerned with. When visiting Tennessee, I was asked if a certain friend and brother, Charles Harper, was coming with me. They knew from social media that we had hung out and frequently went to the same things and had even traveled together. When I asked why, it was explained to me that certain members of the lodge wouldn't sit and lodge with him because he's black. Recently, two grand jurisdictions came with edicts against the membership relating to their sexuality, and I ask you, within these two examples, where is the accountability? These are striking examples, no doubt. But make no mistake, they are the product of an institution relegated to the back room where no one cares to look, but maybe they should. How do we hold our organization to the standards it claims to uphold? Enter the Masonic blogosphere. Shortly after the two jurisdictions came out with these rulings against men who hold a different sexuality, reports were far and wide across the United States and the world describing the actions taken. Even NPR had a piece on it. While we as Masons understand that this issue affected only two jurisdictions, the NPR article, which countless people read, assuredly ascribe these views to the craft at large. In this, the accountability came in the form of members breaking the code of silence. Within 2 weeks, no less than five grand jurisdictions in the United States and one from Europe either pulled recognition or issued a statement of condemnation against any grand lodge or grand jurisdiction, which would bar membership to men based on anything but their good works and character. To hold accountability is to hold the feet to the fire, no matter who it is or how much we trust them. In our fraternity, there is absolute power. As we've all heard, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Free press is necessary for accountability to exist. Free press caused action. Aside from this blog, The Midnight Freemasons, there are a handful of other Masonic blogs out there that receive millions of views. Examples include Freemasonry for Dummies by Chris Hodapp. On his site, Chris talks about all things Masonic in an independent and free way. It's fair to say that the things Chris has decided to cover have definitely deflated some stuffed shirts and ruffled some feathers. Hell, we've done it a time or two right here on The Midnight Freemasons, and maybe once or twice on my own Facebook feed. You won't find Grand Lodges endorsing blogs or podcasts anytime soon, and whilst we might secretly want their blessing, let's be honest, we shouldn't ever have it. By having it, we all but agree to be beholden to the jurisdiction granting our existence, causing a massive conflict of interest. And in my own state of Illinois, my Grand Lodge has no desire to stifle Masonic content as long as we converse on the level, maintain professionalism and civility. I guess we're pretty understanding here. Unfortunately, one grand jurisdiction with a positive attitude doesn't rub off on the others. And because of this, it's important to understand the importance of the Masonic thinkers, reporters, bloggers, and other personalities. It guarantees that the stories that should get out do get out. Whilst harmony is key in our fraternity, a bigger key is truth. So in closing out this post, I propose a toast to all those Masonic web writers, bloggers, YouTubers, and the rest out there who write, report, and spread Masonic knowledge and truth. Cheers, my brothers, and cheers to the patrons as well. All right, I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope it made you think just a little bit about the duty we owe to providing accountability to everything. There's a lot of guys out there who will say that lodge business belongs in lodge only, and this kind of thought process, I think that's a little narrow-minded, and I think that only serves to essentially not make waves, and I don't think that's the way progress is made. And for a progressive moral society or progressive moral science, that just doesn't make much sense to me. But in any case, the next piece I have is called Membership is Not a Secret, and this is by the Midnight Freemasons founder, Todd E. Creason. This piece actually had a great deal of conversation, and I'll talk a little bit about that right after the piece. So here we go. Membership is Not a Secret, by Midnight Freemason founder Todd E. Creason, 33rd degree. Last month in Illinois, Masons were encouraged by our Grand Lodge to show their Masonic pride by wearing their Masonic hats, shirts, rings, etc. on Masonic Pride Day. And many of us did. Of course, for many of us, every day is Masonic Pride Day. I wear my ring every day. I drive my car with Masonic plates on it, along with the Past Master brake light stickers. I have no less than 8 Masonic polo shirts in my closet from a variety of Masonic bodies, and I couldn't guess how many t-shirts from Masonic Lodges events, so our annual trail run, etc., I have in there. And I'm not alone. It's not difficult to pick the Mason out of a crowd. I run across Masons all the time. That's why it never ceases to amaze me when I write about Freemasons, which I frequently do, how many emails I get and how many comments we get on the Midnight Freemasons like the ones below. I'm constantly being accused of quote-unquote outing Freemasons. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Being a Freemason is not a secret. I've never known a single Freemason that has kept his membership a secret. It is not a fundamental rule of the craft that we keep this information to ourselves. I've written 3 books about Freemasons. I've interviewed famous Freemasons, and I've had famous Freemasons contact me wanting to be in my next book about famous Freemasons. I don't know a single Mason that is quote-unquote in the closet about their membership. It's just not a thing at all. There's no plot, and we're not following you or trying to infiltrate your book club for nefarious purposes. We aren't secretly spying on you while you eat your lunch at Subway, and we're not reading over your shoulder at the bookstore. But the emails and comments on the Midnight Freemasons persist, especially when I add an installment to my long-running series, Freemason or Not. Here's one I just got as a comment on the Midnight Freemasons on one of my Freemason or Not pieces. Quote, "Hello, Todd. I'm glad to write you for the first time. You present yourself as a Grand Master, 33rd degree. I am really glad for you and respectful. But how can you, as a Freemason, reveal a brother? Isn't it one of the first rules to never reveal a brother Freemason? Or are your articles misinformation for the profane? We've got a lot of Freemasons in my family, and of course nobody will tell you that they're a part of it in front of the profane. So I am wondering how you, GM, write down so many articles, clearly passing away this fundamental fraternity's rule. Please explain to me, GM." End quote. So rest assured, if you're in the presence of a Freemason, it probably won't be very hard to tell. And if you ask somebody if they're a Mason, they aren't going to lie to you. It's not a requirement that a Freemason keep their membership a secret. It's our membership in the Toastmasters that we don't talk about. Todd E. Creason. Note, just for clarification, I am not, nor have I ever been, a Grand Master. Another note, I've been corrected, and I've made some clarifications in this piece. In some places in the world, it may not be wise to announce you're a Freemason because of a political or religious environment that exists. However, my main point is that it is not a fundamental fraternal rule that membership in a Masonic lodge is something that we have kept a secret. That is what is so often asserted, that we are to keep our membership a secret because it's a fundamental rule of the society. It isn't. Well, there you have it. That piece actually spawned quite a bit of commentary afterwards, to which Brother Todd E. Creason actually amended his piece to add that additional note, something that was interesting. But, as many men will tell you, membership in the Masonic fraternity is, of course, not advisable in all places. And now, just to wrap this up, I'd like to remind you, this week's pieces came from the Midnight Freemasons, where we publish 3 articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I hope you enjoy them. This week is a little bit short because I just got over a cold and I couldn't tell you how many times I had to stop recording so that I could cough my brains out. So I do apologize for the shorter episode, but I hope you understand. We'll be back next week with a great episode with Frauder O. And hopefully the week after that, we have a cool interview with some brothers that may be producing a Masonic film. We'll see. Stay tuned for details on that. I would like to remind everybody on the ways to support our program. Of course, you can go to wcypodcast.com. You can hover over support the show, and you can make a direct donation to the program, either right through PayPal. You can make a one-time donation, or you can become a monthly contributor, a $5 a month fellow, or a full-blown producer at $10 a month. Those are available because I received so many requests from brothers who wanted to be able to make a monthly contribution. So I hope that helps anybody out who is looking for a way to do that. In addition, we do have our limited edition shop where you can pick up our lapel pins, cufflinks. We have a few money clips, and I think we have one tie bar left. And we also carry the Mason's Lady car decal. You can check those out again, wcypodcast.com. Hover over, support the show, click on limited edition shop. We've also got some great affiliates that we go through. One of them is Bankers Best. Bankers Best has some great products that they've made to assist us in our fundraising goals to keep this program alive and keep all our past episodes up and running, and allows you to download those at any time. So if you are interested, please, again, you want to hover over that support the show, click on Bankers Best, or you can just go to buybankersbest.com/WCY podcast. Your purchase of certain products like the beard oil or the beard balm, 50% of the profits come right back to this show. So it's a win-win. You get something cool, we get some support, and you're supporting Bankers Best, which is brother owned by Brother Levi Banker. So a huge thanks goes out to Brother Levi for all of your assistance. We've got our Onnit affiliate membership where you can pick up things like Alpha Brain and Hemp Force Protein, some great supplements to make a good man even better. We've got our WCY and Thrive account, and these are just basic ways to support the show. I really do appreciate all of your assistance in our fundraising. Every bit of this money goes right back into the show's production to pay for equipment and hosting and all of these things. That's what it's for. And I want to mention that we do, if you hover over support the show and you click on producers, these are the gentlemen who used to be on our donor wall. Now is just a list of our extraordinary support that has come from so many. So please visit there and see those names up there, because these are the guys who have made some significant, very significant contributions to this program. And I can't help but thank these gentlemen so very much for your support. If you like Masonic podcasts, please check out the Masonic Roundtable, going live every Tuesday at 10/9 Central. We go live, as I said, and you can interact with us. Next week, we're going to be talking, likely, about the duties of the Worshipful Master. We're finishing up a great series on the 3 executive officers. It should be a great time. We got a lot of great support and questions regarding the Junior Warden episode and the Senior Warden episode, but now this is the culmination of something great, the Worshipful Master, and we'll probably be talking a little bit about how that office is run in our various jurisdictions, etc., etc. So until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.